And then there's the pain body. That is what I call the addiction to suffering in humans. Periodically, it arises. It's an aspect of the egoic consciousness. Pain body is the accumulation of past emotional pain from your own lifetime and the collective pain of humanity. And you can imagine how much collective pain there is in humanity if you look at human history and the madness of that over thousands of years. So much pain and suffering. And of course that is passed on genetically and in other ways and lives in humans as a contracted energy field, a little, almost little entity, which is an aspect, the emotional aspect of the little me in the head, with its fears and needs and desires and uneasiness and the emotions that go with the little me, painful, pain body. Let's look at it as if it were a little entity that lives in you. And just like other entities, sometimes it's dormant and sometimes it's active. When it's active, a little trigger will cause a great influx of pain. And at that moment begins the addiction to pain, because when it takes you over, you become it. If you don't know it, you become addicted to pain and you don't want to let go at that moment. At that moment it has its pain, it has momentum, and it will run its course. Whether it's anger or sadness or fear, the momentum has started, and if you don't know it, immediately it flows into your mind and it'll control your thoughts and they will be painful. So the pain body is feeding on your thinking. And there's no way you're going to let go at that point, because the pain body loves that. I love my pain. You are speaking as the pain body. Have you ever spoken to pain bodies? Yes, of course you have spoken to pain bodies. If you have a partner, you have spoken to a pain body. And if you live alone all the time, then you just have to look at your mental dialogue or monologue to know your own pain body that's speaking in your head. And you can see when the pain body arises, the transformation that happens in a person. It has a particular emanation. If you're sensitive, you could be behind a screen and there could be a person and you would feel the emanation of that person's pain body coming without seeing that person. You can move, you can go to certain areas, certain cities, parts of cities, certain countries or parts of countries where the collective pain body is particularly strong. And you can sense that as a heaviness or an agitation. And the pain body can, even in this beautiful place, the people who work here, well, I haven't met anybody's pain body, I haven't been here very long, but I am sure, even here in paradise, the pain body hasn't gone to sleep completely. It'll come up no matter where. And it'll attempt to feed on your thoughts and feed on other people's reactions. It wants them. Oh. how to get out of it? No, it's there. Presence. Be there as the witness and watch it. My pain body was fear, the predominant vibrational mode of my pain body was fear. And it would often arise at night, but also at other times, of course. It would always be in the background, but it, sometimes when it actually awoke, it would awake at night. I would suddenly... And the mind... At that time, I was identified with the pain body. The mind starts racing, but every thought is a fearful thought, because that's what the pain body wants. It feeds on the kind of thought that corresponds to its frequency. So what you have when a person is identified with pain body is a very unhappy little being, a very unhappy me. Heaviness, great, oh. And then it feeds and feeds and grows. If it can use your partner or somebody around you, so much the better. And you can enact out the drama that is such a necessary ingredient of every relationship. And which usually means pain bodies need feeding. So the couples are forced to act out their drama, which it could be, you could record one drama episode and just replay it. It would basically be the same thing. And sometimes you could replay 10 years later and they're still doing it. And you play one that you recorded 10 years ago, they're still doing it. Or maybe they've changed partners and then they're doing it with somebody else. So, all that is needed is to know it's there. Mm-hmm. And that's easier now because more presence arises in you, which is the ability. An aspect of presence is the ability to witness whatever happens inside you, to be there as the awareness, the underlying awareness. And here this is the same thing again. Here we come to usually what is pain body obscures the arising awareness, but it doesn't have to be like that. Pain body can actually strengthen awareness once a certain level of awareness is reached. Every time you notice the influx, the pain body is awakening out of its dormant state inside you. A little trigger has happened, or a little thought to trigger it, or a little event, and an enormous influx of emotion suddenly comes. And that's all old emotion that's lived in you, and now it needs some more food. And then you know that, and you watch it. You allow it, a key, allowing. The moment you say yes, that's how it is. The emotion is there, what can you do? You can't say, no, no, that's more pain. Because the pain is thousands of years of no, of denial of what is, of some egoic little thing saying, I have a separate existence, a separate little me. So you allow that which is may not be pleasant, but it is a turbulent or heavy movement of energy. Not a personal thing at all. It is the human pain body, nothing to do with you. The human pain body in you. If it's a person, oh, then you have a big problem. If that were a personal thing, oh, how do I get rid of, I need to, don't need. Don't even need to say, I want to be free of pain body. the moment it comes, you see it, and the seeing means you are not completely identified with it. The seeing is the beginning of the space around it. And at first, it seems difficult to have space around that which is so noisy and demands so much of your... It wants to suck all your consciousness into it. And yet, when you see that it's actually not that hard to have space around it, by simply allowing, and the more deeply you allow it to be there, let the pain be there. Let it be there and just watch it on an energetic level without mentally transforming it into a story, without it energizing the story of the little me and my life and what they are doing to me and I'm going to do to them and they did to me and if they hadn't, I would... So it no longer energizes the mind structures of the little me, which are problematic enough even without the pain body. So you can imagine what it does when it's amplified 100 times its energy by the old energy of pain that lives in humans. So the pain cannot be denied, it's there. But it's no longer using your thought structures, your mind. It's no longer amplifying the story of me. So all that's left of it is a field of turbulence or heaviness. That's not so bad. And since that it is, at this moment, it is what it is, you might as well say yes to it. No point in fighting because it already is. This moment, okay, let it be there. And I'm shaking with fear, and I'm saying, okay, let it be there. And you watch it directly. So the fear doesn't turn into mind structures and fantasies and images of how unhappy you are and should be. You allow it, and that is the beginning of space around it. And once you see that, you can, wow, you can even in the midst of it, you can say, it's fine. I've said yes to it. The most dreadful thing, I've said yes to it. And the moment I say yes, the yes is the arising of space around it. Just as there's space around the noise of the sea, and this is easy, of course, there's a stillness underneath it, and you know it. There's the awareness in which it happens. In the same way, there's the awareness in which the pain body happens. And there's a vastness in which these ripples are taking place. And even that's quite nice, actually. It's a thunderstorm. Beautiful. If it's no longer a personal affair, it's beautiful. If it's a personal thing, then it's probably... Some egos personalize everything. And they would have a personal relationship even with a thunderstorm. Why is it happening to me? And they get angry. Shouldn't be happening. So this is so much, and I'm using this gesture of welcoming whatever is, even if it looks like a little monster, even if it looks like a dreadful tragedy, And some things require a great, huge arms to welcome. It seems almost impossible. Some things are so huge that can happen in a person's life. How can I welcome that? And so you need, your arms will have to grow a little longer to contain that. And the greater it is, the more impossible it seems at first, the more unacceptable it seems, the deeper the inner shift, the deeper the transformation, once that yes has been uttered. And in great tragedies, it can, the yes has to be very deep. And it can happen that in no time, and I'm using it in a non-conventional sense of the word, in no time all the egoic structures can collapse, and that's relatively rare, but it can happen if you're lucky enough to be faced with immense suffering. Most of you don't need it anymore, but if it comes, it's there. The image of Jesus on the cross, a mythical image which has been important for mankind, contains a truth which was not possible for people to understand in any other way except through the mythical image. And it looks like if somebody from another planet came and saw there is a man nailed on the cross and people are worshipping this man who looks so completely helpless, what does that mean? They would say, this is so strange. They're worshipping this helpless man on the cross, and yet it contains great, enormous wisdom, because that is everyone, and that is the surrender. And it also, according to the description in the New Testament, there were the two stages. Stage one of Jesus on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Last resistance coming up, great suffering coming up, still a state of non-surrender. You have forsaken me, why did you do this to me? Still a little entity, really complaining. And the next step was, not my will, but thy will be done, which is surrender to the one. Not an entity. Surrender to the one. To be totally aligned with that movement, consciousness, the one. Not my will, there's the little me. I surrender totally. I say yes totally to this. And then what before looked like a dreadful thing becomes actually a voluntary gesture of surrender. And so, in some way, each human being is that. And every human being, in one way or another, has to go through that. Now, this whole process is speeded up enormously now. And it is quite possible that, if not likely, that many of you, or most of you, will no longer need to go through intense suffering. It has worked. Let's be grateful for it. And it's come to an end. I don't need suffering anymore. That is the most amazing realization. I don't need it anymore. No. And then, well, no matter what happens, okay, I don't need that. Okay. And so even the pain body, when you're no longer feeding it through your mind, gradually the energy that was trapped in there becomes transmuted and freed. It's all life energy. Nothing is separate from that. And even the worst pain body, perhaps, who in an unconscious person can do the most dreadful things, this is simply the movement of human unconsciousness. Not personal, there's no identity in what the pain body does. There's not a me. That is often a thing that the last things for some people is to have remnants of an egoic identity based on something dreadful they think they did in the past. I did that. That was me. It wasn't. It was human pain. Was unconsciously being acted out. Why make an identity out of that for yourself or for somebody else? Human pain, and everyone is an expression until you become conscious. In many ways, you express human pain. And human pain does dreadful things because it wants to perpetuate itself. It wants to inflict more pain on others. And this is not a personal thing. There is no identity, no selfhood there. But the ego will, because the ego is always looking for something to identify with, the little me, and an enormous thing it can get its teeth into, is to say, that I did that, that's me, I am very bad. To claim an identity out of unconscious movements of human pain and make it into a person, and then hang on to that, get your teeth into it and not let go. Me, I did dreadful things. Oh, I did that, I. And that is the, what it could be called, the inability to forgive, is to mistake the externalization of human pain for somebody. So whether it is you do it to somebody else and make an identity for another person out of something that he or she did, say, he is the most dreadful, whatever you call, he did that, she did that, that's who he. It was human pain being acted out. Nobody there. Nobody home. Energy movement, unconscious energy movement, to do with the evolutionary level of humanity. When you see that, that's forgiveness. Forgiveness is to recognize the insubstantiality of that, that there is no person there who did it, no identity. And again, it's all beautifully contained in the words of Jesus on the cross again, when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know. What does that mean, they know not what they do? That means it just happens through them. The modern translation should read, they are completely unconscious. They know not what they do. That's what that means. There is simply unconsciousness. And forgive then means do not make an identity out of that for them. Do not manufacture an identity and build an image for them that you label that person with. Because the moment you label another person, you yourself get trapped in an image. You cannot trap somebody else in a mental image without yourself also getting entangled in a mental image. So you make a prison for the other person, and in making a prison for the other person, you make a prison for yourself, and you've both put yourself both in cages. What a wonderful thing to see that the nothing in the past has really anything to do with who you are. The essence of your being has nothing to do with events in the past. All that was the original sin, the unconsciousness. Fine. And that's... Some people have to suffer tremendously to see that. And it's so simple. So, as the pain body is no longer being fed with your thoughts, gradually it no longer is sustainable as the pain body. And the enormous amount of life energy that was trapped in there is suddenly freed. And the amazing thing is that people with the heaviest pain bodies often become free more quickly because they can't stand themselves anymore. That's what happened to me. I can't, this is it's too much. Because the pain body is an aspect of self, the egoic self. And when it gets so heavy, that means you cannot stand yourself anymore. So, to be free of pain body, forget about needing to be free of pain body. Welcome it when it arises. Space around it. Now also it may arise in somebody else, your partner. It's pushing buttons. It's saying, give me a reaction. I want to feed on your reaction. And usually it gets it. So, and it requires a little less alertness and awareness to see the arising pain body in somebody else than it does to see the arising pain body in yourself. But there's enough awareness in each one of you to see it in both cases. But to see it in yourself needs more alertness than to see the pain body arising in someone else. That's relatively easy once you know how it operates and you can recognize it and you can see the energetic shift in that person even without any words being spoken. You can see the energy emanation of that person changing sometimes within 10 seconds or 1 minute. And suddenly there's a heaviness to the emanation. And you might be asking, is something wrong? And they say, no, there's nothing wrong. And you know there's something wrong because it's the pain body, but it's being denied. Now, when you're in partnership, have an agreement that you acknowledge the arising pain body instead of denying it. Why deny it? And you can say, I think I can feel my pain body coming up. When you said that just now, that triggered it. It's coming up. A at that moment, your partner has a choice. He or she can run out of the room. Say, okay, I'll give you a call in a couple of hours. Or your partner can stay and say, all right, let it come. Let's see, let's stay present and let it come. Okay. Now, at that moment, it may come. To what extent it can still move into your partner's mind and use it, we don't know. It depends on the degree of presence. It may be that all it manifests purely on an energetic level, which is fine, not a big problem. And then you both contain it, you welcome it. The fear or the anger, it's fine. So you both have space around it, hold the space around it. It's also possible when the pain body comes up and is suddenly moves up into that awareness, the light of awareness, the pain body moves up and suddenly it hits the sunlight of awareness and the pain body goes, oh, and goes back, this is not a good time. So it comes up and it's immediately, you watch it and says, oh no, not, I won't come up, there's no chance now, I can't feed. So, and then it goes back and then you say, oh, was that the pain body? Why is it gone already? Well, it's gone because it could see that there was no chance for feeding. And then you have to be doubly alert because the pain body will now be waiting like a little fox in a corner. And it's very cunning, very cunning. It knows when the best time is to make a move. Sometimes it could happen when you're tired and you've had a hard day and you're not much presence left. And then the pain goes, this is my chance. Alcohol can do it easily too. A couple of drinks can be enough for the awareness to go down to a sufficiently low level for the pain body to come up. Especially in men, it is a frequent phenomenon that after a few drinks they become very angry or violent. That's often the case. And so there's a tendency in some men for the pain body to always wait until they have had a few drinks. And then it doesn't need any other times. It'll always wait and they drink often enough for the pain body to have ample opportunity to come up. Television, especially movies containing violence, also pain body can easily move in after you've switched off that, watched that movie. It's pulled you down to a level of unconsciousness and the pain body will come in. And of course you've already been feeding it by watching that movie. The only reason why people pay money to watch violence is not that anybody would want to see that, violence being inflicted on other humans. Who would want to see that other than pain bodies? Who would pay money to watch that? It is totally insane. But millions do. But they are millions, they are all pain bodies. So one of the ways, if pain body cannot feed enough in your personal life, it will feed in a secondary way by watching that and loving it, feeling bad. That's why they pay money to feel bad. They love it. Who loves it? The pain body loves it. So a large part of the movie industry is being financed by pain bodies. And the producers have pain bodies too, so it's, they're being produced and financed by pain bodies. But so far it hasn't, the truth has not yet appeared in the credits, the title, the credits after the film. So that's how, this is just one little aspect of the madness of this world. And again, we don't need to be in a reactive relationship to the madness and say, oh, this is so mad. I'm so mad about this mad world. Contain, allow the world to be mad. You, of course, you could go out and now say, I'm going to fight violence in movies. Of course, fine, it's a noble cause, but you are fighting the effect, not the cause. You're fighting at a level of effect. The cause is pain body, human pain body. And the fight is really, it will be a struggle to eliminate violence from movies as long as the majority of humans are unconsciously identified with their pain bodies. They demand that. As long as they demand it, they'll get it. So when you see the various aspects of the madness in the world, there could be the tendency for somebody in here to say, get me out of here, or I have to change the world. And where do you start? There's so many causes. And I'm not saying don't pursue any external cause. That is fine too. But don't neglect the root cause, the cause of all the rest of it, which is within yourself. This is where it starts. So the madness of the whole world, and look at the madness of the 20th century, dreadful, dreadful, unbelievable. And even now, still many things go on at this moment. Just as you approach your own pain body, you approach the madness of the world. Space around it. Recognize it for what it is. See it. Just as you listen to the sea, being aware of that which arises and being aware of the stillness underneath. In the same way, you watch the madness of the world. It is. And that's the arising of sanity. You cannot fight madness. You cannot fight the pain body. You cannot fight the little me in the head. They live on fighting. Realize how much bigger you are than all that and say yes. Not to the phenomenon that happens, it could be dreadful, but create the space around it. Be the space around it. You are that already, but don't know it. And again, that is knowing yourself as the awareness. And we started with that this morning. The awareness in which things happen. The awareness that knows itself. The awareness that is you, that is yourself. So here we have for the rest of the afternoon, we have an easy task. You can bring that awareness to the beauty. Unless in one or two of you the pain body may be active, that's fine too. Most pain bodies would wait until this is over. So the key sense the stillness in which it all happens. The beauty happens in it, birth happens in it, death happens in it. It's not true that one is good and the other is bad. It's simply the world of polarities. And enjoy. First and foremost, you enjoy yourself. I am enjoying myself. I am in joy in myself, the joy of being. That doesn't depend on externals. And that's the primary joy, that's true joy. And that is your nature, the joy of being. The rest is the world of form, which can also be enjoyed. But you already have the cream, and there's the skimmed milk, and you can enjoy the skim. It's beautiful. The world of forms, beautiful too, with a limit. Every form has its limitations, and that's fine too. I love nature is beautiful. Of course, it has every form is limited. I love cats. Great love, but of course they also have their limitations. They're not as mad as humans, but they have their limitations. When they see a bird, their jaw goes. And they can't get out of that. They could, no matter how many workshops you sent them to. That's how it is. And yet they are beautiful. Enjoy the rest of this day in paradise. But true paradise, of course, is within. It just happens to be paradise externally also for a little while. I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true, there's this story about the Garden of Eden in the Bible, paradise. And I read that the translation of Eden, the original word used, literally is place of joy. So the expulsion from paradise was the loss of that state of joy. We had to move a long way out of it to return to that. But now we return to it consciously. We are meeting again for our evening meditation. I believe at 8 o'clock clock time. In the same now as this now, in the same field. I'd also like later, perhaps we'll start tonight, it's wonderful to hug people, so anybody who would like a hug, we can exchange hugs, and we'll start later, perhaps tonight. Thank you. The title of that song is Who You Really Are.
There be more to this life we call mine than a journey through space or a storyline. More to life than the body can send, then the mind can conclude from experience. Does who we are begin with breath, depend on form or end with death? Strip away these roles, these names, measure success by the things we accrue or the bonds that we form or the deeds we do. But these too will pass, as hard as we try to hold on to form will die. But inherent in this dance of form is the chance to see what's yet unborn, and the choice to throw this chance away in the play of who we think we are, who we think we are. This is your lifetime. At any time, where is your attention? Where is your prayer? Where is your song? In a fortunate life comes a call to be free from the cycle of bondage, identity, to wake from the dream and finally realize the truth of one's being before the body dies. So before the final scene is passed, see the screen on which it's
Mm-hmm.